Episode 1699, My Strength is My Story with Julia Jeffress Sadler. Pray big things.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by.
Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series, and we have with us Julia Jeffress Sadler. She is a wife, mother, a student ministry leader. She is a woman on fire for God. And guess what? She has a secret she wants to share with you. So you'll want to stay tuned. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Julia's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, Julia is a woman of impact. She has been on a mission every day of her life. She's a preacher's kid. You're going to hear a little bit about that. But she was also one who stepped away from God, yet came back and came back with a heart that said, you are the only one who can answer my prayers. You are the one who has set a purpose and destined me, ordained me with these God-sized dreams. Lord, take them and lead me. So without further ado, let's welcome in Julia Jeffress Sadler. Pray big things. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have a woman in the house who has triplets. All right, that's for another episode. No, it's not. It's for this episode. Julia Jeffress Sadler is a wife of 10 and a half years to Ryan and mother to their three miraculous triplets. Julia is a licensed professional counselor, conference speaker, host of the Julia Sadler Show, reality TV star, and the girls' ministry director at the First Baptist Church of Dallas in Texas. And somehow, when she's had a few breaths and a few breaks, she had a way and some time to birth a brand new book, Pray Big Things, The Surprising Life God Has for You When You're Bold Enough to Ask. Julia, I'm excited and honored to have you here. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ.
Oh, man, that made me tired listening to. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, my. Well, we have got a jam-packed day here, just you and I. And there's a lot to cover in your book. I love your book. But I have to first ask you, what brings you joy?
What brings me joy? Wow. Knowing that this life is not all there is.
I love that.
Yeah.
That kind of puts this one like up. It's a great book, but there's more out there even besides this book.
Yes.
How beautiful. I love it. Well, let's go back in time because, you know, we all like time machines and we have a lot in common, believe it or not. You're a PK and so am I.
Oh, we can be in the recovery class together.
Yeah, exactly.
Different episode.
Well, you've already gone to recovery because you're a licensed counselor, right?
Yes.
So you do it every day. But take us back. What was it like growing up in the church?
Yeah. I loved growing up in church. So I accepted Christ when I was 4 and I really understood salvation and that Christ had died on the cross for me. And I wanted that gift. I wanted that. And so I accepted Christ at a young age. People think it's funny, but I really had a good walk with God in elementary school. And I started my first Bible study in fifth grade, and God just really instilled in me a love for evangelism and a heart for the lost. And my parents did a really good job. I grew up in public school, and they just really helped me see how that goes into the way that you live and how you can witness to people at school. And they were really good about helping me understand the things I learned and putting them into practice. So I really had a strong walk with God. Throughout elementary school, it sounds funny, but it was true. And up until high school. And then I had a time where I just got kind of confused, not in my faith, but probably more I just kind of wanted to take a break. I was tired of always being the example. And I just slowly, you know, I think of the Casting Crowns song, it's a slow fade. I just kind of stopped following God in certain areas and went off for a while for about 3 years. But God just got a hold of my life, married Ryan within a month of rededicating, and have been part of student ministry ever since then. So I love the church. I know there are problems in every church, but, you know, it's what God left us with as our support system. And so I actually, that's my other passion, is talking about church and how to process those struggles or hurts and how to get the most out of it. So anyway, thanks for asking about that. I love being a PK.
I know, me too. But a lot of people, you know, you hear those horrible stories about, oh my gosh, they're the PK. And you know, it just goes like with your, if you're a police officer's child or a teacher's child, right? There's these expectations. How did you feel? Because you mentioned that you struggled some as you got older as being that example. How did you really find the place where it was you and God and not you, the church and God?
Yes. So I had to get to the point where I had, my faith had to become my own. Of course, salvation was my own. And like, of course, I'm not saved because of my parents. Like, so I understood salvation was between God and me. But I had to get to a place where faith really, as far as my walk with God, was, okay, I go to church, not because my dad's a pastor, but because the Bible says, don't forsake meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Okay. I witnessed to people, not because I saw my parents do it, but because I really believe there's heaven and hell and that people in my life need to hear about Christ. So there had to be a time where I really decided, I believe this because I believe the Bible and because I've God's work in my life. And I am grateful that I had that time. I never questioned my faith. It was practical living. Like, why do I really believe this? But I'm glad I had that because I work with teenagers now, and so many who graduate college or graduate high school are just going to take their time off from their faith or time off from church. And so I'm grateful that I had that same struggle so I can be like, please don't do that. you don't want to do that.
Yeah. And, but, and you give them better direction because you walked that road with them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, for sure. And I talk a lot in my book, Craving Things. I know we're going to get to it, but just about, I mean, I've always grown up praying, but I really thought it was boring. I mean, I thought, you know, it's something we do and you try to stay awake or you do it before lunch and it's just kind of like a habit. But this book and Pray Big Things, we talk about how to really make it exciting. And I talk about that from a pastor's kid perspective or someone who has grown up in church. Because a lot of us know we're supposed to pray, but we just don't really want to, or we don't understand why it's exciting.
Prayer is a part of Christianity, as you say, and you write in your book, the answer is I was living on borrowed prayers. You go on to say my lack of enthusiasm about prayer was not a theological issue. It was an ownership issue.
Yes. Yes, that is so true. So I grew up hearing people say, oh, I prayed for you. I prayed for you that you'd accept Christ. I prayed for you that you would know your calling and that you were called to ministry. And I think, you know, I tried as much as I could in this book to be honest and to really say what I really thought. And I would hear people say they'd prayed for me my whole life and think, that's nice. Like, thanks. I guess that's just what people do, you know. But there had to be a time kind of like with your faith where that has to become your own, where we have to become responsible for our own prayers and for praying things for us and for our friends and our family. And I think that a lot of people my age have depended on their legacies of faith or people in their church that have prayed for them or people who don't even realize how many people have been praying for them. And so there has to be a time where it's not theologically we should pray. It's, I need to start being an active player, an active prayer in my own life. And so, yes, living on borrowed prayers, just because I love the Journey song, Living on a Prayer. And that's an idea we talk about, how to make prayer your own and exciting.
Well, yeah. And we have to take that ownership. Like you said, it is ownership. It's a responsibility.
Right.
And it's not just something where, oh, okay, yeah, I pray and it's okay. Because in your book is jam-packed. And I know people are going to want to pick up their own copy of it. But in here, you talk about that most of our prayers are done with, thank you, Lord, for this food. Uh-huh. You know, thank you for a great day. Thank you for giving me a paycheck. But you say it's much more than that, and hence the title, Pray Big Things.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, most of us aren't going to get excited about, wait, everybody hold their Chick-fil-A in their hand and make sure you thank God for this day before you stuff your face. I mean, come on. And I first kind of heard this idea actually from one of my professors at Dallas Baptist University. She was talking about how you need to be creative with your kids. And of course, you're a pastor's daughter, so you understand, like, it's so important for kids to want to do things and it not just be this boring mandate. And so I remember my teacher saying, you don't have to pray before your meal. Like, you can pray in the middle of your meal, or you can pray, you know, as you're going on a walk outside. And so prayer, something we talk about in the book, is really, it's a lifestyle. And that verse that talks about in scripture, just we're supposed to pray at all times, on all occasions. And I talk about in the book, I mean, things can really be boring. I mean, laying in a bed, I talked about this, I'm sure we'll talk about later, laying in a bed, a hospital bed for 50 days was pretty boring. And the great thing about being a Christian and the truth that there's a whole spiritual element everywhere we are. And because God is always doing something big, we can always be doing something big through prayers and through witnessing to other people, which is great because things can get kind of dull.
And who needs a dull life? I mean, you definitely don't have a dull life because you have triplets. Oh my gosh. Okay, we'll get to those beauties in a few minutes here, but we've got to fast forward just a little bit. We talked a little bit about what it was like for you growing up in the home and in the church. And so you fast forward to your junior high sweetheart. Yes. You get married. It's time to start a family.
Yeah.
You experienced a very challenging year, and challenging isn't even a good word for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. So we, you know, about 4 years ago, my husband and I decided nothing was really wrong. We've been Christians for a long time. We hadn't tried to get pregnant or anything, but we just wanted more. We wanted more out of our life. We wanted more out of our relationship with God. We wanted more out of our prayer life. We knew scripture, but God just really started whispering in our hearts, what if? What if these promises in scripture really are for you? You know, what if, you know, these verses that you memorize and that you hear on Sundays, that's something I actually want to accomplish in your life. And so we sat down and we both felt just this impression from the Holy Spirit to really take time to ask God for the things that we really desire. We weren't going to be embarrassed to ask God for anything. And so we sat down and we made a list. The rule was persistent and specific. And I'm saying rule, that's just the requirements we had for it. We were going to be specific and persistent. And so we made a list of 20 things. We didn't tell anybody, it was just us, that we were going to pray until they happened. And on that, or until God said no, very specifically. And so we, you know, on that list was for 3 children that had always been on my heart. We prayed for twins, actually, because I'd always been obsessed with twins. Like, that sounds funny, but remember the rule was pray for anything. That's what we said. And we prayed actually for the opportunity to write a book. I've been writing for years. And so the reason I'm telling you these things is because all of these prayers were before the really difficult time. And in my book, we talk about Joseph and how God gave Joseph his dreams before he was sold into slavery, before he was abandoned by his family. And so I really try to urge readers and Pray Big Things to remember those dreams that God's put on their heart, that we don't have to deviate from that in order to have an exciting life. And so we did. We started praying for those things. We prayed that for people in our family that they would give up specific addictions. And we saw everything on that list happen in the last 3 years. But this is why it matters. That prayer list, that decision to stop just praying before lunch and really beg God, bow before the throne, pray all through the day for these things, was before we lost 3 babies in a year, before I went into preterm labor at 22 weeks and they said the babies were going to be born blind, deaf, or not survive at all. And so the reason I say that is because prayer's dangerous. It's exciting, but it's also dangerous. When we say, you know what, I'm going to live differently. I'm going to start praying like I actually believe there's someone up there and that Jesus really is the Savior. And God takes notice, but so does Satan, because we're a threat. We're a threat. We're a threat. We start actually applying scripture. And so we did. We lost 3 children in a year. And we decided, I mean, it was a conscious decision. I am not going to give up. I'm going to keep doing what God's called me to do, and I'm going to see what happens. And I remember thinking, so you better bring it, Satan, because I'm not going anywhere. And I mean, truthfully, and then we did. We got the news that we're having triplets.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's incredible. And you write in your book, it says the Bible dares us to pray for anything and everything. And it says God will give us what we ask when our requests are according to his will.
Right.
That added extra thing, and which are according to his will, the ball is in our court. For those who are listening going, I've been praying specific. I've right. been persistent.
Yes.
And I don't have my God-given dreams yet.
Right, right. So there's two things I want to make sure. One, this book is not name it and claim it, okay? Because I have people message me all day long, and what name it and claim it means is you just speak it out there, and God's like, sure, why not? You know, there's a very specific plan for our lives. But we got to remember, God wants to be known. He's not up there like, oh, I'm going to hide myself from her. She'll figure it out. I mean, he wants us to be lined up. And so there's two things, you know, waiting time is different from God specifically saying no. And so sometimes when I'm saying unanswered prayers, that all goes together. But in the waiting time, I mean, this book is about that. And more importantly, scripture's about that. We cannot give up. That waiting time is precious. And even though we're in seasons that surprise us, like we don't want to be single, or we don't want to be struggling with infertility, or we don't want to go to that college, we want to go to this college, God has a purpose for times that surprise us, because they don't surprise him, thankfully. And so waiting time is different. You know, really want to encourage people not to give up and ask God for those seasons and to show the purpose for him. And so that's for the unanswered prayers, the things that haven't come to fruition. But when God has said no, and those losses are real, God doesn't shy away from that. Scripture is very clear. He's close to us when we're brokenhearted. He has a plan. A lot of Christians are uncomfortable with, oh, what do we do in tragedy? Or what do we do whenever there's a bad diagnosis? And we need to buck up, because Scripture doesn't shy away from that. God says, I am in an inexplicable way still responsible, and I still have a plan for you. And so pray big things. It's a positive, it's an exciting book, but it very specifically looks at unanswered prayers, disappointment, loss, and how those experiences can strengthen our faith. We don't have to run from them.
Amen. Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Pray Big Things, The Surprising Life God Has for You When You're Bold Enough to Ask. When you're bold enough to ask, you girl, you're bold enough. And you were very, very specific. You mentioned earlier about Joseph. Mm-hmm. And you share a lot, which I love how you intertwine his story. And people who, we've got listeners who are definitely Christians. We've got people who yeah. maybe have heard of Joseph, but they're like, yeah. is that, you know, the carpenter of Jesus? Is that the Joseph we're yeah. talking about? What stood out to you mm-hmm. in Joseph's story when yeah. it came specifically to him refusing to let go of his God-given dreams?
Yes. Yeah, so if you're not sure who Joseph is, that's okay. I'm pretty bad at Old Testament stuff too. That's why I have my dad on speed dial. I'm like, what is this again?
What, Julia, let me stop you though. Okay. We didn't say who you are the daughter of. Do you want to let people know who you are?
Oh, that's fine. My dad's Dr. Robert Jeffress. He's a senior pastor at First Baptist Dallas and a Fox News contributor, and he's written a ton of books, and this is my first one. So we also kind of look alike, which my husband doesn't like when I say that, but we do look similar.
Well, now people will understand why you have him on speed yes. dial, because most people are like, what?
Yeah, he's a scholar. He knows his stuff.
He does know his stuff.
But, with that, I just want to say the Bible is, you know, it can seem scary to study, but it's not impossible, and it is meant for you. It's not just meant for pastors to study and seminary students. And so I know it can seem scary to dive in. Just get a good study. Just start reading. Probably we tell people start in John. It's the easiest, we think, to kind of get the full story and the full picture. But Joseph is in the Old Testament, the one I'm talking about. And though you may not really be able to place him, his story is what the main verse that people talk about forgiveness, or the saying you may have heard, that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. His story is what that comes from. And what happened was, Joseph was a teenager who God gave these dreams to, that he was going to rule one day, that he was going to rule over his brothers, which if you have siblings, you know, no sibling wants to hear that. And also, if you like Broadway, he's the subject of Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. That's him. So we're big show tunes people. So you may, that's the other thing you may know him from. And that his dad gave him the multicolor coat, the favorite. And because of that, his brothers hated him. They were very jealous of him. This is super cliff notes, okay, guys, which is fine. But he, because of the jealousy, his brothers hated him and threw him in a pit, actually left him for dead. But he was sold into slavery, and through a miraculous season of events, God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph, and he moved from being abandoned, left for dead, sold into slavery in prison for something he didn't do, and then ends up being at the right hand actually of the king. And so it's incredible because he literally has the worst things happen to him. I mean, being left for dead, being in prison, abandoned by your family, but his dreams were given to him before that. And so just the idea that God gives us a lot of dreams beforehand, before the hard times come. And I think God does that to remind us, no, I knew this was going to happen to you, but I gave you those dreams beforehand so that you could hold on to them. And the incredible ending of Joseph's story is one that's so applicable to so many of us. What ends up happening is that the brothers end up having to come ask Joseph for food, essentially, to save them, because they don't have any food. There's a famine. And Joseph is so overwhelmed with the fact that it's his brothers, and he realizes everything that God told him is true, and that he has been with him the whole way. And so Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, who don't realize it's him. He sold them into slavery, like, I forget how many years earlier. And the brothers are horrified. They're so upset because they have felt so sad about what they did to their brother. And Joseph's famous line, which rings true for all of us, is, it's okay, you meant it for evil, selling me into slavery, doing these things against me, but God used it for good, for the saving of many lives. And so we talk about that and pray big things, because there's nothing that can happen to us in this world that, one, surprises God, or two, that God can't use, thankfully. And so Joseph is a great story of that, that we have dreams that, if they're God-given, they are going to happen, and that we can trust God to keep safe.
Amen. Oh, I love it. And, you know, some people would think you prayed big things and everything worked out perfect. But you fast forward a little bit more.
Yeah.
And you already mentioned earlier those 50 days, 49 days of staring out a window in a hospital. And it wasn't like you were, you know, at home. You were in the hospital. I mean, come on, seriously? Mm-hmm. How did you deal with the unknown and still walk and wait in faith?
Yes. So I hate being alone, and I hate hospitals, and I hate body stuff. So it was basically my nightmare. But there was no mistaking that God had put me there, which I think that's, again, we talk about in Pray Big Things, like what a great comfort to know those things surprise us. They don't surprise God, and he has a purpose for them. And so I had to decide, do I really believe God is who I says he is, who he says he is, and who I believe him to be? And so 50 days of laying in a bed, staring out a window, watching the leaves change. It went from October to November to December. And I mean, whenever I was admitted, it was hot outside. I came out, it was the dead of winter. And it was so weird and so surreal. And I remember telling God, you have to show me why I'm here. I believe that he had told me that we were going to survive and the babies were going to survive, but that's not what the medical side was saying. I was just talking to my dad, and he was like, you need to remember, like, how scary it really was. And I've healed some from that, but it was really terrifying. And so I had to ask God, I had to say, show me why I'm here, because there has to be a purpose. I have to have purpose here. And luckily, since we had been so honest about our miscarriages and infertility, there's 6.3 million American women, which, so I don't even know how many worldwide, but are struggling with infertility. And of course, that's believers and non-believers. And so I got to minister to many online and just through different outlets, but then also through to people in the hospital. And so, yeah, pray big things. It can seem simplistic, like, oh, and then she prayed for triplets. Isn't that great? You know, no, it's, we lost three babies in less than a year. We were told that these babies that I was pregnant with weren't going to survive. And so it's praying big while also processing when God says no and when there is hard stuff. So yes, pray big things is exciting and positive, but there's nothing simplistic about it.
You're right about that. There's nothing simplistic about it. For those who are listening that are dealing with the infertility or miscarriages, what would you tell them today to give them some hope and encouragement?
Yes, I would say that your purpose on earth is not contingent on your ability to get pregnant or stay pregnant. And that's something I really had to take to heart, that God has a purpose for me, not when I get pregnant, not when I get married, you know, for the single girls out there, not when fill in the blank happens. There's a purpose for you today. And if we spend so much time focusing on the future, we miss the person right in front of us who we're supposed to minister to or have an impact on. And so I think that just realizing you have a purpose that goes, not that being a mom isn't special and being a wife isn't special, but God didn't accidentally give you this struggle. And so struggling well, being honest with God about your feelings, but also being honest that we need a purpose. We need to figure out what we're supposed to do today.
And like you said, Julia, the key is struggling well and really digging into God's well, as into what He has in store for us.
Right.
You know, as you have gone through all of this, you're beyond that, right? The kids, the beautiful triplets, how are they doing? I've got to ask.
Yeah, they're really cute. I can't believe they were only 2 and 3 pounds and 3 pounds when they were born. Now they throw pacifiers in each other's cribs and they do their talking. They have their own little language. Like, it's all true what they say about multiples. So it's really a fun time right now.
Oh, but
it took a long time to have fun. You know, we spent a long time in the hospital, and so we're in normalcy now. Whatever normalcy for triplets are is, I don't know.
Think there is a normalcy. Whether you have 1, 3, 25, parenting is just a day by day or moment by moment.
Yes.
But in looking back and everything that you prayed for and what you went through and being in the hospital and the NICU, like you said, all these struggles, when we've come through it and we look back, we see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see God's presence now that looking back, you didn't see His presence then?
That's a good question, because I do feel like I was pretty aware of it. Well, to be totally honest, there were so many big prayers that were prayed during our time of bed rest and the NICU. And, you know, I mean, I feel like He just carried us through. I know so many people can identify with this, but there are times you just never would have chosen. But looking back, you're like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't have changed that for anything, because you've got to see and experience God so closely. But truthfully, the year following, I prayed a lot of things that didn't happen. And I remember kind of asking God, well, okay, Pray Big Things is coming out in a year, so what am I supposed to do? do I need to change this? But there are a lot of things that didn't happen. And so I think, you know, this Pray Big Things, this book is about a very specific time in my life. And I think that I'm just really learning now, those mountaintop experiences are amazing. And it's so neat to get to see God just literally carry you and really see scripture put in practice. But this past year has really been more, how do you keep walking with God when things you're not on a TLC show, or whenever you are, you know, trying to get three infants or toddlers to church. And so just realizing there is a balance. There are those mountaintop experiences that we thank God for. And, you know, heaven's only going to be mountaintop, thank goodness. But also figuring out, spacing out your life, I think of it as a map of, okay, here I was on that mountain, that really special time. Here I am, maybe just in, not necessarily the wilderness, not a struggle, just that normalcy. So how do I live out my faith in every day? And realizing that God's in both. He's in the mountaintop and the day-to-day. And I think that's more what I'm realizing now.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, it kind of ties in to chapter 5 when God says yes. Now here, you're talking about obedience in this chapter somewhat. And as parents, we desire our children, right? You're going to desire them. I promise you that you want all three of them to be obedient to you.
Okay.
But you're right. God does not owe us anything, but he right. promised us everything. And you go on to say, obedience puts us in the place of being able to receive God's blessings instead of his discipline.
Yes.
How do we find that balance between our actions and God's blessings, kind of like the normalcy and the mountaintop experience?
Right. Okay. So that lesson was actually taken more from the time in my life I told you about when I really wasn't walking with God. And that was something that I felt like God really explained to me. Some people are really uncomfortable with the idea of obedience and blessing. And that's all throughout scripture, especially in Psalms. I mean, David talks time and again about how, well, I was experiencing all this heartache because I had this unconfessed sin in my life, which, of course, everything is not the result of unconfessed sin, but some stuff is. And so it's not, none of us are perfect. We know that we're not and that we're going to struggle. But if you have, you know, it's totally different if someone is being immoral or dishonest or has something that God's specifically been saying, don't do that, you need to give that up, or something clearly that the Bible says is right or wrong. If we have those big sins in our life, I mean, the Bible is clear, that's habitual sin. And the idea there is just, it's a fist raised to God saying, I don't care. I know you don't want me to do this, but I don't care. And so when we have those big things happening in our lives, of course there's grace and God can do anything, but God also explains how he works a lot of times in scripture. And those high-fisted sins do make it where God does, has to deal with that sin in our life because he's holy. And so making sure it's not being obsessive, like, oh no, like I listened to that song I shouldn't have listened to. But more just making sure there's nothing that God specifically has been telling you that you're just not doing. Because if there is, we have to get in an okay place with him obedience wise. So yes, doing everything you can do, not in an obsessive way, but in a biblical way, making sure that you're doing what God's asked you to do. That does put you in a place, I believe, to receive God's blessing instead of his discipline.
That'll be one that people are chewing on a lot.
Yeah, and people really don't like that. A lot of people don't. But the Bible does say that. It says, you know, there's a difference. I long to be gracious to you. I want these things. But that sin does separate us from God ultimately, eternally, if we haven't accepted Christ. But sin separates us from God in our daily lives, too. And sometimes he does surprise us and just do nice things, even though we've been off the rails. But normally, obedience and blessing go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. It really does go hand in hand. And I think we begin to question that because we yes. think, oh, well, if you haven't answered all of these, like right. for you over the past year or so, you've had question marks.
Right.
One question mark, though, that wasn't left undone was you got to be on a reality TV show. I mean, yes. come on. People are already asking, yeah. what was it like? Was it crazy?
Yeah. Well, and I do want to go back to that real quick because I just got a message today from a girl who said, hey, I'm praying big, but nothing's happening, and I feel like it's because of sin in my past. God does not operate that way. Okay, so he says he separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. So he's not mean. He's not up there like, I'm just not going to do this because of that thing she did when she was 10. He wants our hearts to be right, and he wants us to be close to him. And so his motivation is drawing us close to him, not punishing us. And so while we're trying to explain why things happen and don't happen, there's a mystery to everything as well. But we can't, you know, I think of someone I talked to who she and her husband were having affairs and wondering why they didn't have a good marriage. Okay. I mean, you know, we got to be obedient in what God has said to do before we want blessing. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that, because it's not necessarily that there's been some horrible thing you've done and that's why God's not answering how you want him to.
Yes. But, yeah. So true.
Yeah. So the reality TV show, we wanted our story to get out there. We wanted people to hear that we had had three miscarriages and God had blessed us with triplets. And so we started praying for a TV show, and Ryan came in my office as my husband, and he was like, "Hey, are you still praying for that show?" The show is in quotations here. It's just something that we felt like God had put on our hearts. And I was like, "No, not really. I'm trying to keep, you know, three babies alive." And he goes, "No, I think we should. I think we should. Our offices are next to each other at church." And so he came in my office. I was like, "Okay." I was like, and we prayed for the show that we had just decided would be cool to do. And TLC reached out to us, and we were able to talk about Christ, talk about salvation, talk about miscarriages, faith, prayer, all of it on TLC.
And notice, though, it wasn't about you. Yes, it was about your experiences, but ultimately it was shining the glory on whom? God.
Yes.
And you talk a lot about that in your book. And I think we forget that a lot of us are trying to shine the light, the spotlight. I want it on me. Come on, bring it to me.
Yeah.
And God's saying, that's not my purpose here. You are here to live out my purpose for your life. And we forget that.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, in my book, Pray Big Things, I give a lot of just practical application for how to discover your purpose. So the things that you have dreams about, the things that you're gifted in, the things you're interested in are not by accident. And so in Pray Big Things, we talk about, okay, so what does that mean? What does that mean for me in ministry and family and my occupation? And how can you discover your purpose? And so for us, like, people are like, how'd you decide to do the show? Well, that's not what happened. What happened was God put, first of all, a struggle in our lives, and then a desire to reach other people so that other people would be encouraged. And so Pray Big Things talks about that. We don't have to, I work with teenagers a lot, and they think, I just need to go this other direction in order to have an exciting life. And really, the most exciting life you can live is the one God created you for, because he knows. He knows how you're wired. He knows what you like to do. He knows what you don't like to do. And so he doesn't have this hidden plan that we secretly don't want any part in. He has a great plan for our lives that is more, that's better than anything we can imagine.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, you titled your book, Pray Big Things, and I know everybody's going to want to pick up their own copy, but I have to ask the bold question.
Okay.
What big things are you praying for now?
Yeah. We're praying for this book to do really well. The bold thing, I wake up every morning and I make sure before, which this is hard for a millennial, I make sure that I don't look at my phone. I get on my knees and I beg God that my children will accept him as their savior at a young age. And until that happens, that's the biggest prayer definitely in my life.
Amen. Well, we will be praying with you in all of it. As an author, you'd mentioned, yes, you wrote this book and you said, our bold ask right now of God is that he does wonders. What do you hope that the reader will gain when they pick up and read your book?
That's such a great question. Someone said to me recently, prayer disarms people. And the idea was just that a lot of us can get behind the idea of prayer. And so I hope that people that have never given prayer a shot will pick it up and think, all right, maybe I'll actually look into this. And then I'm also hoping those of us who have prayed a lot in our lives, that maybe we are struggling silently, or we're not super inspired, or we are just doing the pray before lunch prayer, we'll pick up this book and be inspired and excited again. And really, people who read it have told me that it helps scripture come alive and helps them remember, I really do believe this. What can I do practically in my life to experience that power, that miracle that he didn't just perform in my life, he wants to perform in everyone's.
Amen. I love it, sister. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you, Julia. Where can they find you?
JuliaJSadler.com.
All right. We will have that in the show notes.
Yeah, and make sure the J's in there, that Julia Sadler's a model, and that is not me.
But you're adorable.
Oh, thanks.
Well, before I let you go, the series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Wow. And it's gifted me with the ability to stand firm in a way I haven't been able to before and say, yes, God is real. Scripture is real. It's all real. So what are you waiting for?
Oh, Julia, I love your heart. You are a gem and a blessing to all of us. I know God's got big things in store for your book, and I'm praying with you, and I know those who are listening are doing the same and joining with you. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to have you back.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun. I appreciate it.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.